large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing. There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and a community connection this morning. And, well, general topic of Suicide Prevention Coalition, although we're going to pick up some extra topics as we go along. But Nolan Jones and Melissa Jenkins and this morning. I'm going to start with Nolan, and thanks for coming in, sir. Nice to have you here today.
Well, good morning to you and your listeners out there. I'm glad to have you. Beautiful day, and good to be here with you. We appreciate the opportunity to come here to the radio station and put out information and about some of our major events, and wanted to go through just a little bit here up front about the statistics on suicide prevention. And, you know, across America, every 12 and a half minutes, someone dies by suicide. That means that about every 15 minutes, there's 23 people and family, friends, and coworkers. They're trying to figure out what's going on, and they didn't detect or weren't able to realize ahead of time that this person was hurting, and they could have helped possibly if they'd been there at the right time. And so our national strategy takes the position that suicide is preventable in many cases. If we can learn how to do the question, persuade, and refer when we see these issues, and we can get somebody give him a little bit more time for hope. And so they can talk them out of that situation and get that statistic down. We just don't need it that high at all. Lives can be saved if the right people, that's you and I, equipped with the right knowledge, which is the QPR training about how to identify this, if they intervene at the right time and get involved to detect the problem, then we can turn this thing around and do much more effective at fighting it. So we have a monthly working group that meets downtown at the library on the second Thursday at 11:30 a.m. We are looking for volunteers. We'd love to have you. And if that's something that you're interested in or have any desire, please follow up on that. That'd be at the library on the second Thursday at 11:30 a.m. We also have a survivor group on the first Tuesday at 6 p.m. in the Bartlesville Library, and Tina Peters runs that for us, and we'd love to have you show up there if that's something we can provide a service for you.
And Nolan, on that question, persuade, refer strategy, nearly everybody is giving off some sort of sign, some indication that they're, whether it's suicide or something, is just bothering them, that there's a problem going on somewhere.
Yeah, and usually when we see it is right after it happened.
Yeah.
And we say, oh, my goodness, I didn't think they were didn't really mean that. But if we can be more aware, and so many things hit us, sometimes it's not a small issue. You wonder, how could that have triggered so much? It's because the basket is already full for them, and it's just the trigger that makes it happen. And so if we can just observe a little bit better, and if we see that person that's hurting, maybe we just ask the questions, and we try to teach you how to ask that question and be comfortable in doing it and successful in doing it and giving them more hope and get them off that bridge or whatever the situation may be in that situation.
So, and I know this is an oversimplification, but I know people have said it before, just be a friend and be an encourager, and then if necessary, and if you have the proper training and gumption to say, here's somebody that you can talk to that probably can help you out a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. And some of us, you know, may not have that characteristic makeup, but if you don't, be able to recognize that you don't and get somebody that will. Get one of your friends that will and talk to them with you. And it won't be that hard once you see what you can get on that first smile, if you can get them to smile for you.
And I know this coalition was started when we realized that Washington County's suicide rate was something like twice the national average.
Yes. And I think we're down a little bit in the numbers, but we're still too much to talk about. The statistics move very few decimal points ever.
Well, I think
every year,
many
well, people
would, many people would say if it's still going on, it's too high.
It's too high, and one of the things that we want to do is instead of work on the end of it, we for the last two or three years with our summits and our planning, we've went upstream and tried to figure out some of the many causes that we as a society have control over. And one of the big ones is every person that dies from suicide, out of those people, 70-some percent all have, when they examine them, they all have drug and or alcohol in their system. And so that means that there's a lot of shaky ground ahead of time, a lot of telltales that are going on that we just need to learn to observe and help out.
Okay. Well, and there is a group of people here who are providing the training. You have an annual summit. I don't remember I want to say it's been like 6 or 7 years that you've been going on. I don't remember exactly. But you've always had some great speakers who are encouragers and there for the public and also hold some informational sessions for the medical professionals and pastoral staff.
Okay. Yes, we're looking for our highlight of the year is our summit that we have. We're going to have it September the 13th. That's going to be the second Thursday of this year, which is September the 13th. And we're working on that now real hard with the planning. And for those of you who have not made it in the past, please come join us. It's going to be quite an event. And Melissa, will you talk about some of the guests that we have set up?
Sure. Thank you, Nolan, and thank you, Charlie.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, our keynote speaker this year is a wonderful licensed professional therapist. Her name is Christina Conrad, and Christina has a very unique perspective on how to help heal trauma that has occurred in our lives, and it's called somatic experiencing therapy. And she went to special training for 3 years to be able to offer this type of work. And basically, she's going to be helping during the daytime our behavioral health, mental health professionals learn a little bit about this technique to helping recognize the suicide warning signs, but also how to help individuals work through those issues through this special type of somatic experiencing therapy. And then she will also be introducing this to our community that evening. So we're very, very excited about Christina's work. I know her personally and have seen her in action and know her to be very, very good at what she does. And we are looking forward to having her to be able to help our community begin to work through issues that can lead to suicide.
So this is one more step in the process of making sure that our mental health professionals are fully equipped to be able to handle the situation, sometimes on a moment's notice if necessary.
And that's such an important strategy. Nolan mentioned our national strategies, and that's certainly one of them. So not only raising awareness about suicide and suicide prevention, but also training up our workforce so that they're able to be able to do thorough risk assessments, and then to be able to get individuals into the right type of support. And honestly, something you said, Charlie and Nolan, about the importance of being there for someone and providing hope and caring, we just can never, ever, ever underplay that, the importance of what that means to someone who's struggling and in a place where they think nobody cares about them. And our mind does do that to us sometimes. We just, you know, can't see through this fog or cloud or whatever it is, and that individual is there to help lift us through that.
Well, I like the phrase "be a friend," because I think somebody, there are people who would say, "Well, you know, I don't think I can ask those questions. I don't think I can, you know, refer somebody to a mental health professional." But I think if you say, "Well, can you be a friend?" Nearly everybody can say, "Well, I could do that," and you know.
Yes, and that's not that hard to do, is it? To just be a listener. I would say part of that friendship is listening, because listening and not judging, just hearing that person's story. And the other thing that we always, Nolan and I always provide to individuals when they ask us is our 1-800, 273-TALK number, because that's always available to us, no matter where we are, 24/7. We can always just say, hey, to our friend or individual, let's call this number, and then they have a trained crisis professional help.
So if I already had that phone number in my cell phone that I could just, you know, call it up as a contact and dial the phone number and hand the phone to somebody and say, here, talk to somebody.
Absolutely. You could sure do that. No one's going to tell you that an additional resource for that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, the National Suicide Lifeline, for those of you with a pencil out there, is 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. And if you're military and looking for the military talk line, then you dial a 1, and that will take you right on over to it.
Okay.
Also, that they have a national texting line now. For those of you, most of the children, not the children, but kids and children, certainly not old men like me, will text, have a text line, mm-hmm. and that is 741-741. And so use those anytime and provide those if they're in need. And if you do come up on a situation like that, handle it the best you can. Get an ambulance there and just take care of the situation. You'll feel much better about it, too.
Now, you've got a seminar coming up every month, but it's the third Thursday at the library. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Second Thursday.
My bad. Second Thursday.
And that's on the 13th. And this year, it's Learning to Live Fully is our motto. And by looking upstream, we talked about the opiate issue, and we have had those in on a panel for the last 2 years, and it's been very well accepted. And we always look forward to it because we get such a wide range of people coming in. And Earl Sears is our MC for this program, has been for 3 or 4 years, and he always tells me that that's his job. Don't give it to anyone else until he gives it up in writing. And so he's our MC, and he's very beneficial to us, as everybody in the community realizes Earl is. And we're trying to get into some of the things with Melissa that, and her group that are going into the opiate issue. And one of those that we reached out for, we asked Earl to reach out, and he was successful, is on the National Opiate Crisis Committee. We have our state attorney general, Mike Hunter, and Mr. Hunter is going to be able to come in for the day, and he's going to talk to us on the daytime group, and going to serve on the panel, and then he will be there for nighttime to kick that off with our program. And so we're looking really forward to that. We're on Thursday night this year, so we're trying to avoid the sports conflict. And we're wanting to fill the community center up with kids out of the schools and the high schools. And it's amazing to you, I don't want to get over to the negative side, but those kids are thinking about it. I've got a granddaughter that I asked the same question in eighth grade, and yes, they're talking about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And drugs is not absent in our lifetime anymore. So
yeah, we will continue to talk about the opiate problem, what can be done, and of course, Bartlesville Police Department is going to run a second drug take-back day. We'll talk about that and more coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Continuing our time on a Community Connection on 1400 K1, Nolan Jones and Melissa Jenkins, our guests this morning. And along the same lines an outgrowth of the Suicide Prevention Coalition locally. Melissa, you brought along a drug that when I was Air Force pharmacy tech stocking crash carts, that was in every one of them and has been for a long time. It's part of a class of drugs called a narcotic inhibitor, narcotic antagonist, actually, and it's better known by the brand name of Narcan. And you brought it along today. Bartlesville Police have it with them, and they have used it successfully a number of times.
Yes, and we're so proud of our Bartlesville police officers and grateful to Captain Bivard for allowing that to happen, and Jim Waring also for helping to recognize the need for these things. But I'm also pleased to tell you that actually the Washington County Sheriff's Department has now been trained, as well as the Dewey Police Force and the Ramona Police Force.
Outstanding.
So we are really proud of all of our law enforcement in Washington County for recognizing how this important drug can save a life. And, you know, the generic name is Naloxone, so right. You may hear that interchangeably with Narcan. And it is an overdose reversal drug that does help us save lives due to an overdose due to the opioid painkiller, such as Oxycontin, hydrocodone. I want to make sure sometimes people get a little confused about, well, what is an opioid?
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of them, but they kind of have a similar sounding name a lot of the time, yeah.
They do, and most people recognize morphine or also heroin,
yeah.
And we have some things that have been happening nationally and also in our county, and Bartlesville's not immune to it, is this rise in the number of deaths since 1999. And we do know that it's linked to pain becoming the fifth vital sign. And as a result, we, you know, saw more increases in prescriptions to help individuals deal with their pain, not unknowingly about the addictive features that someone can become addicted to it.
Yeah, I would say if you you know, had any kind of surgical procedure, you probably had a one-time prescription for an opioid substance of some type. If you went into the emergency room for pain, there's a good chance you could have gotten a prescription for that. There are other reasons, but those are two good ones that frequently somebody will walk away with a prescription for a substance that could be a problem.
Yes, and so you mentioned the drug take back that
yeah.
We just had the DEA drug take back on April 28th, and mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to get to be stationed with officers at the fire department off of Price Road,
mm-hmm.
and it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I know that they had three take back
sites.
Drop-off sites.
One of them, there is a permanently installed container just inside the front door at the police department. That you can just walk in the front door, make a left turn, and it's right there. Kind of looks like a mailbox.
Yes, and we're really glad to have that. We also know that Popka's Pharmacy is working with the Dewey Police Department,
right.
And we'll be having a drop-off spot as well.
Yes.
And so it'll give us open up a little bit more opportunity, but you know, we didn't realize how important disposing of our unused or unneeded unwanted medications were to helping prevent this epidemic, and certainly back in, I think, the day when I was a kid growing up, we didn't know you couldn't just throw those in the trash or
no.
flush them down the toilet.
Mick Jagger just sang the song about Mother's Little Helper, but that's okay.
Absolutely.
Better known as that little yellow pill called Valium, but yeah, it was among the things that we were seen to be abusing at that time.
Yes,
it was very interesting that they had, over your last trip there, you had 191 pounds turned in.
Yeah.
So that's quite a nice picture in the paper.
It is. We were really encouraged to see the number of individuals responding to the drug take back day. And as Charlie mentioned, there will be another one in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, again, a part of a strategy. And these are very important to us because, you know, our summit is our 2018 Suicide Prevention and Drug Awareness Summit. We added that to the title because these two issues go hand in hand, and they both cause us to lose way too many lives. And as Charlie said, one is too many. And when you lose a loved one to suicide or to a drug overdose, that's one is intentional and one is accidental. And And there are very big connections, as you said, Nolan. 70% of individuals that die by suicide did have a substance. And when you mentioned Valium, Charlie, that's so important, because one of the things that's happening with many of these drug overdoses are individuals that are taking the opioid painkiller, but also taking other types of medications, mm-hmm. such as a benzodiazepine, like a Valium or a Xanax. Mm-hmm. That causes your respiratory system to shut down and stop breathing, basically.
Yeah, and that causes additional complications that may or may not be able to be treated only by the Narcan, the naloxone, that, again, is thankfully carried now by the police departments, but they could need other medical professional help to get the rest of the job
done. Yes, you're always going to call 911
on
any type of emergency like that. And, you know, another thing that we're facing, I have had the opportunity to go to the National Prescription Drug Abuse and Heroin Summit in Atlanta, and we get to hear the latest research from the National Institutes of Health, the CDC director, and we got to hear from the U.S. Surgeon General, who was wonderful, and he is putting out a warning now on opioid medications to take caution, and that there are risks associated with this. And so we continue to learn as many strategies as we can to help reduce the number of deaths due to overdoses because of opioids. Another concern that's happened that they talked about there, and we see it coming to us as well, is the fact that when you do become addicted to an opioid painkiller, we do have a prescription monitoring program that helps. So when it helps in the fact that when you're given a prescription, it does go into a database, and so pharmacists and our law enforcement can monitor that to help cut back on doctor shopping and those types of things, which ultimately do save lives. But then also, as it becomes a little bit harder and you're already addicted, we know that some of the best treatment strategies are medication-assisted treatment. Unfortunately, many people are going to illegal substances like heroin, and there's a drug called a fentanyl that is used often in a patch, mm-hmm. and it's very, very powerful. I think it's what I've told 100 times more powerful than morphine.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And it can shut your breathing down right away. And so we have to kind of be on the lookout for those types of things as well.
Absolutely. So, again, if you get a prescription for one of those substances and you didn't take all of it, instead of just sticking it in the medicine cabinet and say, next time I have a pain, I can use one of these, dispose of it properly. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, Charlie.
Yep. Nolan, just real quick, this month's seminar at the library again, we've got just a few seconds to invite people to that.
This month meeting, we will be on the second Thursday. That's this Thursday at 11:30 to 1:00. We'll be in one of the small meeting rooms downstairs, and we'll be planning and toward our summit. And we'd appreciate any kind of volunteers or any efforts you want to come by. You either get involved or you just observe, and then we'll get you involved later if we'll sneak up on you. But once you get in there and see what we're doing, it's one of the hardest working committees I work on. And I'm proud of it. And we got our flyer out. And the Washington County Wellness Initiative is the umbrella operation for the 11 groups in the county that are all kinds of different areas that we work with, and you get coming to one and you get invited to all of them, so just come right on along.
It's a great working group and covers more organizations than I could sit here and name, so we'll just say check it out and get involved. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very again. Melissa Jenkins and Nolan Jones this morning on a Community Connection on 1400 K1.
We were shocked when we walked into the house. Everything had been stolen or broken. That was